The series is called God with Us. And we get this from the verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, where the prophecy from Isaiah is being recounted. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And if you'll remember, as we've been going through this study, we started by looking at God with us in the valley and then God with us in the wilderness. And this morning we're looking at God with us in the storm. So we talked about the valley, and what we should do when we're in the valley is we should dig a well. We should dig a well that is representative of our expectation that God is going to fulfill the needs we have in that valley. We all have mountaintop experiences, and it's a pretty sure bet that when you get on top of the mountain, somebody's going to knock you off. Something's going to happen, and something's going to go sideways, and you're going to find yourself in the valley. Well, we recognize that God does not intend for us to stay there. But to dig a well, and we talked about several ways that we can do that, is to expect that God is going to provide a way out of that valley. When we're talking about being in the storm, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But when we're talking about the wilderness, we should stop and listen. When you're going through the wilderness, stop and listen to what God has for you to understand and learn in that time of barrenness, in that time of disappointment. Well, in the storm, I would suggest that we have some obligations as well. In the storm, and we're going to apply this in several different ways this morning from several different accounts of Scripture, but in the storm, we should trust and obey. When we're in the middle of the storm, when things are coming apart at the seams, when everything is going wrong, when life is imploding in on us, we in that moment need to trust in who it is that has control of the storm. We need to trust that God has our best in His mind, and the things that are going on around us do not have to dictate the things that are going on inside of us. In the moment that that storm is cascading down upon us, we need to trust God and obey what He says we should do. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of times when people do things that are wrong, they usually blame some sort of circumstance for why they did that. So, well, he made me mad. That's why I did that. Well, the storm, whatever it is, should not dictate how we act. The storm is not an excuse to disobey God. If God said, "Thou shalt not," it doesn't matter if there's a storm or not, thou shouldn't desist. When God is talking, we need to listen. And it's an amazing thing how keenly we listen when life is in chaos. Maybe we need those times of difficulty, those times of tumult, to get our attention so that we're able to listen to what God is saying. Before we go any further, let's ask God's blessing on our time here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, and we recognize that storms are nothing new. Storms have been coming through human experience for all of human history. But Lord, we pray that as we engage with your word, that you would show us how we should live in the midst of storms, how we should respond. And Lord, we pray for the instruction of your word to sink deep into our hearts, to change the way we live and the way we react. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about several different experiences that we can find in Scripture. And the first one we're going to find from the book of Jonah. And you'll remember the story of Jonah and the infamous whale. Jonah was in a storm. And as we look at the life of Jonah, as we look at this story about this prophet who decided that because God told him to do something he didn't want to do, he was going to run away from God. And this turns out to be a very bad idea. And we find it ending in despair in the storm. When Jonah decides that he does not want to obey God and go to Nineveh and tell the gospel, the good news to them, he decides he's going to run away. He boards a ship and he gets on board with the sole intent of disobeying God and running away from God. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, then the men became extremely frightened. Now, what are these men who are sailors, seasoned men of the sea, what are they afraid of? A storm that was fixing to take them out. And they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So what does that discussion look like, do you think? They ask him where he's from, what he's up to. "Oh, I'm running from the Lord." He was just straight up front with them. "This is what I'm doing, and I'm not doing what he told me to." So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" Because they knew there was no way they were going to survive the storm. The storm was going to be their end, for the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." What an incredible series of events. Jonah was not going to confess to God and pray for forgiveness. He was going to end his life. He told them, "Throw me over, then your troubles are going to calm down." Now, was that an act of bravery on Jonah's part? No, I don't think so. I think Jonah gave up. Jonah was in utter despair because he was running from God. He wanted nothing to do with life in general. And I want you to understand this morning that there are many who go through storms of life and they hit that point of utter despair. They hit that point, whether it be anxiety or depression or even attempts at suicide. We have to be very, very aware that there are people who are facing storms this morning that we don't know anything about, that are deeper and more long-lasting than we could have imagined. So I would encourage you this morning that as Jonah came to that point in life where he was finished, he was done, he wanted to end it all, that even there, you're not absent from God. As we read last week, David prayed, "Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? If I ascend to the highest mountain or the lowest depths, you are there." Jonah was trying to get away from God. And even his attempts at ending his life could not remove him from the presence of God, because a great fish was sent by God and swallowed him. And guess what Jonah did in the midst of that fish? He prayed. It took knowing that God wasn't even going to let him die until he did what God told him to do, that Jonah was willing to say, "Okay, Lord." I pray it doesn't get to that point in our life before we'll say, Yes, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Even if I don't want to. Jonah not only caused that storm in his own life, he caused a storm in other people's lives. For it is on account of me that this storm has come upon you. It could be that there are people here this morning that need to forgive themselves for storms that they have caused in other people's lives. Many times we have no concept of the impact that our actions have on people around us. Perhaps you have caused a storm in someone else's life. And you can't undo storms. You can say you're sorry, and you can try to make it right. But in the end, you have to be willing to say that God is going to use that storm for His glory, and I'm going to allow God to use me to be a part of that story. I'm going to allow God to use me to either mend the story or learn from it. You know, it's interesting. We've got a pretty thorough knowledge of storms in this part of the world. It's interesting that it wasn't until 1959 that they started naming storms. And then when they started naming storms, this is the weirdest thing. The meteorologists that were seeing these things happen, they started naming the storms after their wives or their girlfriends. So you wonder what Audrey was like. She might have been quite the powerful lady, or boy, Katrina, whoever that was. Well, they weren't doing that then. In 1979, they started, equal opportunities and started using men's names too. But, you know, we have these storms in life, and as they come through, you know, we have some early warning in our day and time. But in life, the storms of life sometimes just hit us broadside. We have no expectation that they're coming. When they hit us, we've kind of stuck with where we're wired in that moment. Because a lot of times you don't know how you're going to respond to a storm until you're in the storm. Isn't that right? Well, let's talk about another storm. Let's talk about someone who showed dependence in the storm. We all know the Apostle Paul. And you would expect the Apostle Paul, man, he must have aced this storm business, and he did. Now, I'm not sure if he chose the best way to go about acing it, but the story goes that Paul is under house arrest, and he's being transported as a prisoner to Rome. And he's on these ships, and the ship goes, and this is from Acts chapter 27, and they travel here and there, and then finally they're on this ship, and Paul tells them, because they're trying to get to this other harbor where they can make and winter there, he tells them, this is not a good idea. We don't need to go. This is a bad thing. Don't go on this little journey you're planning on. And what happened is in Acts 27, verse 20, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing them, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. So this ship, and Scripture says it was 237 people on this ship. So this is not a little rowboat. There's a whole bunch of people, and every one of them are convinced, absolutely convinced, we are going to die. So listen to Paul's, I don't know if it's wise words, but the way he comes into the forefront here. Then they had gone a long time without food. Then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, You ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. He probably wasn't a real popular person at that moment until he said what he said next. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. 237 people. How can he say that? For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." What was Paul's reaction in the storm? He was completely dependent upon God. Paul was a tent maker. He wasn't a sailor. The ship was not going to be saved because of Paul's skill and wisdom and ingenuity. All of that was out the window for Paul. All Paul had was the God to whom he belonged. And he was absolutely convinced because God had showed him the ship was going down, but every person on that ship was going to survive. That is an incredible statement. When everybody is absolutely convinced they're getting ready to die, they've already done everything humanly possible, they've jettisoned all the extra cargo, they've shored up the ship as far as they can, and the ship is going down. Except God says, "But you're not." Paul exhibited dependence in the face of certain failure. He was confident. I think it's so helpful to have instructions like these from Scripture. Because I can tell you that Paul wasn't always this guy. Paul grew to the place where he was able to, in the storm, be absolutely confident in his God, because he had tried him over and over again. And God had shown himself faithful over and over again. We get to that point in life where, in the midst of the storm, we're able to be dependent upon the grace and goodness of God because we have been with God in storms before. Scripture tells us that Paul had been shipwrecked 3 times. This wasn't his first rodeo. He'd been through this before. Paul had been stoned and left for dead. Paul had been through incredible trials where people were trying to kill him at every turn. Paul was absolutely confident because Paul had walked with God long enough to know the storm is not bigger than the creator of the universe. Sometimes we get to the point where we see the storm and that's all we can see. And sometimes we think, well, God can't fix this. Either someone else has messed up this situation so bad that it's beyond control, and most of the time we think, I've messed it up so bad that it's out of God's control. But the storm is always smaller than the creator of the universe. So we can be confident that in the midst of the storm, God is still faithful. Notice the ship went down. They went through the storm. When they threw Jonah overboard, God calmed the storm. God didn't calm this storm. The ship went down. The ship was wrecked. But what was important survived. The final thing we'll look at is probably where you and I land most of the time. We don't want to be where Jonah was, where he is despairing of life. He's completely given up on God. He's given up on himself. He just wants to get it over with. We don't want to be there. We want to be where Paul was, in utter dependence upon God and his goodness and his power and strength. But if we're really honest, most of the time, this is where we are. Most of the time, we exhibit doubt in the storm. Because that's human. That's what we do. We're not sure. Well, God did, but I don't know what he'll do this time. He can, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. A great example of this is from Matthew chapter 8. The disciples got into the boat and followed Christ. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. He said to him, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Now, what possible evidence would the disciples have experienced at this point in their life with Christ that would have made them think that they were okay? They just got done watching Jesus feed thousands of people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. That's pretty miraculous. They started off watching him change water into wine. That's pretty neat. They've seen him heal people, cure leprosy. They've seen things over and over again that should give them the idea, Jesus is right there. We're okay. But what was their response? Lord, save us! Don't you care that we are perishing? Oh, you of little faith. This is where we live most of the time. Most of the time, we're doubting that God is able. John 16:7 says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, why should the disciples have had no fear? Jesus was right there. But did you know, as incredible as that was, to be able to walk along day after day, knowing that the Creator of the universe is standing right beside you, it's better for you and me today than the disciples had it, walking alongside of Jesus. Jesus made it very clear. It's better that he not be walking on the earth, because the Holy Spirit was going to be sent into the hearts of those who believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was not going to walk alongside of us. The Holy Spirit was going to indwell us, so that we have every opportunity, every power, every privilege that belongs to a child of God to be able to do everything that God requires of us. So we don't have to be afraid in the storm. You can imagine how ridiculous the disciples felt after Jesus told them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And then I'm sure they started thinking back to he did do that. Okay, yeah, he can walk on water, so I guess he can calm it too. God is asking us to walk alongside of him in life enough that we can see his activity, his actions toward us, to test him. Did you know that the Bible has commanded us to test God in one area? Our finances. God was telling the children of Israel, test me now in this by giving your tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see if I will not pour out upon you blessings without measure. Have we walked with God long enough that he has proven himself? Have we given God a chance to prove himself to us? Or are we so busy taking care of our own needs and taking care of our own desires that we don't give God a chance to prove himself faithful? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see, we should never allow the presence of a storm in our life cause us to doubt God's presence in our life. The presence of a storm is not the absence of peace. Peace comes from the presence of Christ. If we lose our peace because of a storm, it's because we're not depending on Christ. Because Christ is faithful in the middle of the storm, before the storm, and after the storm. We have an opportunity every day to trust in God. And when the storm hits, that's going to show where our heart is. When everything goes south, you find out what people are truly trusting in. As we acknowledge God's goodness in our life, God's presence and power in our life, the storms in life are going to give an opportunity for other people to see God in us. Christ is going to be so obvious to people around us in the storm that they're going to ask questions. I want what you have. I want to be able to deal with the storms of my life like you're dealing with this situation. Are we dealing with life storms like Jonah? I hope not. I hope that we get past dealing with the storms of life like the disciples did, by doubting that God was able. And maybe we'll get to where Paul was. We're in the middle of the storm. We're not nervous. We're not scared. We're not upset. We are dependent upon God, knowing he's going to provide. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. We will not fear. I pray that's your heart today. To want to get to the place in life where storms are not going to rearrange your heart. They might rearrange your surroundings, but you're at peace in the center of God's will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to look into your word and to see the reactions to storms. Lord, I pray that our reaction would be one of utter dependence upon you, to recognize that you have not promised that all of our skies will be sunny, but you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. You promise to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to trust in the midst of fearful times. But help us not to be afraid. Help us not to doubt. Help us to always trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.